The opinions expressed in the Keeping It Sporty podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Keeping It Sporty podcast. As always, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or on our website at keepingitsporty.com. On today's episode, I am joined by a very special guest. She has a wealth of experience in the sport media industry. She is a poet and does some public speaking on the side as well. I welcome to the show, Anjali Singh. Anjali, how's it going?
I'm good, Elias. How are you?
I'm doing great, Anjali, and I appreciate you coming on today on the Keeping It Sporty podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So, Anjali, I was wondering, so you and I are in sports media together, of course, at TMU. What first drew you into the program?
Well, all I knew at the time when I was applying in grade 12 is that I love sports and I love talking. And I thought might as well combine the two passions and join sport media. But it was the only program that I applied to that was not teaching related. So I got accepted and I chose that program. It was a crazy feeling, but that's why I joined. Might as well.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear a lot of people's experience, everybody comes from a little bit of a different background, but the thing that unites everyone is really sports, I think, and everybody really likes to, or would like to work in sports in the future, that is. So I wanted to move on. You work for the, or with the Harris Brand Foundation. Maybe describe a little bit about the organization and your role with them.
So you did your research. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm a media consultant with them. So basically, I just make social media content. I work with a bunch of other smart individuals who are also, you know, involved in the sport media industry. So it's great to get a feel for a different side of sports because it's all just like social media, video editing, promotional videos. So that's what I work with. And then, you know, coming up in 2025, we have a lot planned. So we'll be doing a lot more with kids, with high school students, helping them exceed in sports. And that's kind of where my role sits there.
And what would you say is maybe the most important skill or aspect you've gained while working with them?
I'll say two. So first off, I'll say time management, because I'm definitely not used to having, you know, a part-time job, then school, and then this side hustle, the Harris Brand Foundation. So time hustle is definitely one. But then in terms of media itself, I'd say just how in-depth I've been able to get with editing videos, because, you know, there we do highlight packs a bit in our program, right? As you know, and it's great, but it's so much more different when you're just doing quick 30-second videos that you want to quickly put together for social media. So just learning how to edit on that side of things is something that I've had to adapt to, but I've also learned. So
yeah, it's really interesting how you can carry around different skills throughout the industry, and maybe you'll use it in one job and then it'll pop up again in another job in the future. I think those transferable skills are definitely important when looking for a job and when working, of course. You also worked with the Toronto Blue Jays this summer. That was at Rogers Centre. Maybe describe a little bit about what that experience was like, the different opportunities you got with that role as well.
That one was interesting because going into it, obviously I knew that it would be with the Blue Jays, but I didn't know. Like, I thought it was just a retail job, right? So it's just any other retail job. It's not going to be anything interesting. But I was wrong, because throughout the entire season that I worked, it was always great vibes. Like, the customers are amazing, the fans, and then the people I work with are amazing. So that was great. And then as well, we got different opportunities. For example, you know, halfway through the season, we had a staff party, and then at the end we also had the opportunity to like take a tour of the entire Rogers Center, including like the dugouts and the field and everything. We got to run the bases, and those are the type of opportunities you get when you're with such a special organization. And I think that moving forward, not only has this helped me with my confidence and my speaking abilities, but it also helped me just have a better awareness of who I am. And in the future, it's also helping me with making connections because everyone around me, they work in sport media, right? Think about it. I'm just handing out merchandise. I'm selling merchandise, but then 15 feet in front of me, I have a camera operator, and it's insane. And before all the fans come in, you could just walk up to them and be like, "Hey, how's it going? I'm Anjali Singh. I'm in sport media." And you could like try out the equipment. They can give you a bit of a tour. It's amazing. It's just absolutely fulfilling.
Yeah, and you brought up something important there about networking. I think networking is the key to this industry, as you and I both know. I wanted to ask you as well. So you work with at Rogers Centre for the Blue Jays. You also worked at Taylor Swift concerts. I know a lot of people were fighting tooth and nail to get tickets to
Oh my
that.
gosh.
So yeah.
That's interesting. Yep. Was not expecting to talk about it. I'm kind of I'm sick of Taylor Swift, but I understand why fans love her. She performed amazing. It was 6 days of loud fans. They are, I will say though, I've worked a few other concerts at the Rogers Center, and the Taylor Swift fans are the nicest fans out there. Like, and everyone was saying that. It is so true. And we had those bracelets that we could trade with fans, and everyone was so kind. It was such a cool experience. I've never been a Swiftie, but even though I'm not a Swiftie, it was still very cool to witness that. And I mean, I guess in my future I could look back and be like, "Oh yeah, I got to work the Taylor Swift concert, the Eras Tour, you know?"
Well, it's something that not a lot of people could say, I guess, right? Because people were literally like, getting scammed over tickets, and it was just it brought in a lot of revenue for the city, of course, but it was just I don't know, watching the news and hearing some of these stories just kind of blew my mind as well. So
By the time the concert, it was like 4 days in, even the 500 level seats were $4,000, like some crazy prices. So insane. If you got a ticket, congratulations.
yes, if you, I think that's really the moral of it here. If you got a ticket, congratulations, but now maybe your bank account's hurting a little bit.
Yeah.
So, Angela, you and I, so we spoke a little bit about this earlier, both in sport media. What would you say is one thing you kind of enjoy about the program, and a little bit about maybe what's your goal in the future after the program?
So, I love this program because it really gets you to dive deep into not only one aspect of maybe what you're passionate about, but it gets you to explore different areas of the media industry, right? I aspire to be a sideline reporter, but even though I love the on-air aspect of sport media, you know, this Saturday I got to try out replay operator, and that was so cool to me. So just I love the fact that the instructors and the profs take so much time and effort to teach you about different aspects of the industry and, you know, different roles that you could possibly pursue in your future. And then they also care about you. Like they don't just teach you and then they leave you to it. They really want you to succeed and they really want you to learn and grow. And I think that's what the beauty of the program is it's such a small knit program and everyone in the program, or at least most people in the program, are passionate about sports and they want to pursue something in the sport media industry. So for me, that looks like being a sideline reporter for Toronto Raptors and hopefully the new Toronto Temple team. That sideline reporting is something that I've recently found out that I truly love to do. At first, I know in first year I would say, like, yeah, I want to be a sideline reporter, but it wasn't something that I really wanted to nail down. It was just something I just said to say for the sake of saying. But now that I truly want to do it, and I've talked to some amazing people who are already in the industry, I that's what I want to do. Like, that is my plan A. I have my plan A. That is it. I'm going straight to it. And I'll do whatever it takes to get there. And I think sport media is like the perfect program to get me started. And not only is like are the classes and the extracurriculars great, but they also have these amazing internships that you know about because you did the six hockey. that are just amazing. And like I've seen how much you've grown through your experience with your internship. And I haven't even done an internship yet, but I know that when I do, it's gonna be like night and day. And it'll help me that much more to get to where I want to be.
I agree. There are a lot of opportunities, and I think the biggest thing though is ambition. I think how bad do you want it, right? And a lot of people are gonna say, I really want it, but then there's gonna be that next tier and level of people that are gonna say, I'm really hungry and I want it bad, sort of thing, for lack of a better term. Now, I was gonna ask you a little bit. Now, you said you want to be a sideline reporter for the Toronto Raptors. Would you consider moving down south to the US and maybe doing that as an option as well? Because there's a bigger market, arguably, in the United States than here in Canada.
I mean, you know what? I want to be a sideline reporter for basketball. So if it does mean moving to the US, I don't mind. I know that that's going to be a transition for me because I've kind of, at least up until this point, I've been at home. I've been in my city. So it'll be a struggle, but as long as I'm doing what I love, which is sideline reporting for basketball, I think I'll be just fine. And I was talking to Savannah Hamilton about this because I interviewed her a few weeks ago, and she was like, she told me about her journey, and that just inspired me so much. I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, as long as I'm telling my story and I get to do what I want to do, which is sideline reporting, I'm good. So totally, bring it on. Let's do
I didn't mean to spring your like whole future into one question there, but I
it.
figured I would ask. So,
Yeah. Oh, that's an awesome question. That was great.
so you also do some poetry and public speaking on the side as well. I mean, how did you get into that? Because that's maybe in a similar pathway to maybe being on air, but it's a little bit different as well. So maybe briefly discuss how you got into that role of poetry and public speaking.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that those two connect because it's true. Because before I joined the program, I already had performing experience, talking on a stage in front of a lot of people. And so when it came to me being, let's say, a sideline reporter for one of the OUA games, right? Let's say, all that was different is that there was a bunch of like cameras in front of me and there was bright lights, right? It's something to adapt to for sure. But for sure, like being a performer before I even stepped into the sport media industry and platform, I think helped me a lot. And it's interesting you talk about my poetry because it was 3 years ago today that I started writing poetry. Exactly 3 years ago today. So it's been a long journey. And the way I got into it really was just like, I wanted to be able to tell my story and I wanted to be able to express my emotions in a healthy way, of course. And so I just picked up my phone and I started talking to it on Google Docs and it started printing out the words that I was saying. I read it through and I'm like, this sounds like poetry. This is super cool. And then before I knew it, I had one of my mentors who I met through poetry invite me to her Emancipation Day event where I performed in front of more than 60 people. And that's how I found my love for speaking. So it all just kind of fell into itself, like dominoes. It was amazing. But when I look back on it now, it's just like, wow, that all happened. And I'm here now. That's super cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, looking back on, things you've accomplished in the past, and you're like, wow, I can't believe I really did that. I wonder what the future holds. And I'm sure the future for in your case is going to be bigger and better and brighter because you definitely have an amazing future ahead of you. So I wanted to mention that as well.
I appreciate you, Elias. Hey, and right back at you. You're doing so much. You already won, I believe, a TAR award last year.
I did, yes, thank
Yeah.
you.
And you have this podcast going. And you're already ahead of yourself. You're doing perfectly fine. You're doing perfect.
Thank you. I appreciate that as well. Well, listen, Anjali, thank you so much for joining me today here on the Keeping It Sporty podcast. I really appreciate it. And hearing your story, very, very inspirational for everyone, including myself as well. So I wanted to say that. And continued success with the program as well. And hopefully we'll be able to work on some projects in the future together and continue to build this industry up. So continued success to you.
Thanks, Elias. Thanks for having me. This was amazing.
Okay, great. Well, listen, Edgley, take care and all the best once again.
Thanks, Elias.
You've been listening to the Keeping It Sporty podcast. Don't forget to listen to us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or on our website, keepingitsporty.com. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at Keeping It Sporty. That's KEEPIN, no G, it sporty, SPORTY. I've been your host, Elias Strakos. So long, and see you next.